In the morning, AD. Good, very good. Good to hear from y'all.
Yeah, good to hear from you. A little hot out there, buddy.
Well, I'm. It is, and I'm. Now, you've got Angela Meyer playing, what, next door this Friday?
No. She's at Rams River House in Port Byron.
At Rams. Okay, in Port Byron, yeah. Now, I love that song that you guys play. I think it's called Consequences.
Oh, yeah.
Consequences. She's good.
She's very good.
She's excellent.
Yep. I anticipate at some point someone's going to come along, have her open for them for a concert, and then they're just going to take her with them. You know what I mean? On a tour. Yeah. She's right there. She's got all the things going on. I think she's got a big future.
Yeah, I agree. Where's she from?
McCausland, Iowa.
McCausland, that's right. Okay. Yep. Yeah, no, that's exciting. That's great. No, you guys are always supporting the local effort. I love it.
Well, that's what we got, Todd McGreevy. I mean, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Hey,
exactly.
Before we talk about the latest edition of the River City's Reader, I wanted to get your take, because they just had the big IDOT webinar yesterday and talking about the new 80 bridge, and they said that if they stay in the same place, we're going to have 4 years of detours to 74 and 280, so that'll be fun. 36,000 vehicles go over the 80 bridge every day, and of course, that would mean no Bison Bridge, but they said there's seven different options right now. What do you think of Bison Bridge?
Wasn't that an exciting webinar?
I mean, I didn't watch it. Gary tried to get into it and do it. He even printed out the papers to prove to me that he tried and he couldn't figure it out. So I know I sure as heck couldn't have figured it out.
It was designed to put you to sleep. Now, Chad Pogracki and his crew, they flooded the zone there at the end with all the questions. It was great. And the Bison Bridge was definitely part of the discussion in there. And I'm a fan of the Bison. Who wouldn't be a fan of the Bison Bridge? It's a totally out-of-the-box idea. It's phenomenal. It's put the Quad Cities on the map type of concept. Repurposing. I'm all for repurposing infrastructure that is going to be there for another 100 years. That's why I supported repurposing the I-74 bridge a year ago. I'm all for the Bison Bridge. I think it's great. As far as I actually tuned in the last, it was from 4 to 5:30 is when the call went.
Yeah.
And I tuned in at the very end, actually the last 30 minutes, and it killed me at the end when the gal said, we got these questions coming at the Bison Bridge, and she went into some, laborious explanation of a law that says, we can't have any undue influence of any public expenditures. And I just started howling, laughing. And that never happens in Illinois. There's never any undue influence in Illinois of any public expenditures.
No, never.
No, that never happens. So this one's going to go by that standard. I thought that was pretty funny. 3 to 4 years delay. What did you call it? 3 to 4 years
detours. Because if they build it in the same place, they're just going to shut the 80 bridge down, and then everybody's got to take either 74 or 280. Typically if they're driving through, on 80, and that could snarl things a bit. Now they're fixing up the 280 bridge now, maybe in anticipation of this. I don't know, but I know everybody's pins and needles, but they're giving themselves a whole nother year before they actually make a decision.
Yeah, I noticed that. They said that the report on this from the joint effort of the Iowa and Illinois DOT would not be issued until the end of 2023. It's next year. The public comments apparently are open until the end, like May 28th of this year, is what I saw.
Yeah, well,
as far as public comments go,
I got a comment. Get rid of those cameras.
Yeah, the 80 bridge cameras. That's why I said if they shut the bridge down, what's LeClaire going to do for funding? There goes our $500,000 a month we were making. Son of a gun. You know?
It's amazing.
It is.
No, I hope it comes home. I hope it's going to be a fascinating situation. I mean, it's if the Bison Bridge is to happen, then the current 80 bridge needs, the access and egress to it is going to have to change dramatically. And that's a big... land discussion. That's inland. That's going back, a couple miles inland to determine how this thing flows. So it's a big deal. I can see why they're taking this much time to figure it out, despite the machinations of government. It's a long sludge is what it's going to be.
Ooh, I like that. Long sludge. Sounds like a progressive rock band from the 70s or something. Or maybe more psychedelic rock. Yeah, probably psychedelic rock. Long sludge.
There you go. Well,
hey,
I like it.
Let's talk about your latest issue, which is out. Now, you guys are doing your homework and using some elbow grease here, like always. And you have, if anybody's interested in what the folks who are running for Scott County Board Supervisor have to say about, what, 10, 12 questions you asked him? It's all in here. I mean, you want to, and I love, like, the whole issue this time, and you got all kinds of different stuff about the primaries coming up and all that stuff. And so, okay, so here's what stuck with me from reading your entire issue. This is what stuck out, because I always like to hear that stuff, too. When people, I'm like, they're like, oh, we love the show. I'm like, well, what do you like about it? You know? So what stuck with me, only 3% of eligible voters participate in primary elections, which means only 3% of voters who turn out during primaries actually decide who will govern the U.S. because they decide who's on the final vote. Now, plenty more people show up for the actual vote, but who gets to that vote is decided by the primary. And you don't really think about that. I vote primaries, but I don't, you know, I guess I didn't realize that was so few people actually showed up for these things. And that's an eye-opening statistic right there, Todd McGreevy.
It's the quiet election. The primaries are, you know, not well attended compared to the general election. And it's, you know, it's choosing who gets to be on the ballot in November. And it's critical. You know, it's a chance to, as Kathleen writes, our editor, Kathleen McCarthy writes, it's a chance to break free, you know, get involved in the primary, pick somebody that's, you know, doing something different. You know, pick, if you want to change things, this is the time to get involved. And the, we printed that the primary is June 7th for Illinois and Iowa. We were incorrect. That's only for Iowa. Is June 7th. The Illinois primaries are June 28th, is my understanding. So we have to make that correction.
Okay.
And in this current issue, which is issue 997, it's the May edition of the River Cities Reader, is on the stands now. We do have questions for the Scott County Board of Supervisors primary candidates. And we did issue all the candidates. There's five Democrats running on in the primary side and four Republicans running on the Republican side. And there's three positions available. So the top three vote getters in each party will move forward to the general election. And out of those seven, we had, I believe, five answer the questions, if you will. So,
right.
And we asked questions like, you know, are you going to continue to make the, for years, Aaron, we've been, many of us that are following local government have been clamoring that the Scott County Board of Supervisors should record the meetings. And they fought it for years. I mean, it's just hilarious. And then when COVID hit, oh, we have this thing called Zoom or, you know, a webinar. Now we can really do this very easily because we want to work from home in our jammies. So now we can do it. And so now we have this. So the silver lining of the COVID pandemic is that we have actually have the Scott County Board of Supervisors meetings are now recorded by both video and audio. So we talk about that in this. We ask questions about how that will they continue to support that as a new supervisor. We also talk about the sausage being made in the county. You know, there's a well-known but not publicized meeting between the county administrator, who's the highest paid person in the county as far as government goes. And they have meetings of one or two supervisors at a time, so they don't have a quorum. They're not violating open meetings law. But that's behind the scenes is what's happening is the staff is meeting with the supervisors and getting the work done so that when they get to the committee of the whole, they can just jam through it real quickly because it's already figured out before the meeting happens.
Right.
And we're saying, you know, hey, what maybe those meetings should be publicized. And the city of Davenport, it was very controversial years ago because the mayor – And the city administrator and a couple, three city councilmen would have these meetings behind the scenes, and they would get things figured out, and people started complaining about it. Now the city of Davenport actually has these work sessions in public at the conference room in the police department in downtown, and they publicize an agenda. So, like, hey, yeah, we have to have these preliminary meetings to get the sausage made so everybody understands what's going on. We're making it public. So we asked our supervisors, would they support such a public effort for those type of meetings behind the scenes. We also talk about during the 2020 election, then Auditor Moritz stated on September 17th when she was asked out loud, do you have everything you need to have a safe and fair election? And she said, yes, I have everything I need. Then the very next day she filed for a $400,000 grant from the Center for Technical and Civic Life, which is the not-for-profit in Chicago that was funded by $400 million of Zuckerberg Foundation. And Scott County was one of dozens and dozens of counties in purple counties, if you will, that are swing counties in Wisconsin and Michigan and Indiana and Illinois and Iowa that got this private money to influence public elections. Well, it turns out there's a policy, General Policy 30 in Scott County, that says that Board of Supervisors does not have to approve any monies that are grants given to any other department, whether it be the Sheriff's Department, the Treasurer Department, the Auditor's Department. And that policy can be changed with a simple vote. We asked that question. Are you going to change the policy so we can't have private money funding public elections? We also talk about under what circumstances, if at all, will you support Scott County enforcing medical intervention, masking, vaccines, boosters, and federal mandates for employment? Yep, we asked about that. We also talk about people are trial ballooned the concept of consolidation of government in Scott County, you know, much like they do in Los Angeles or Baltimore, much larger communities. That's been trial ballooned. We asked about that. Do you support a consolidation of that? And if you do, what about law enforcement? Are you going to support an elected sheriff or an appointed chief of police? And we think that's a critical discussion. And last, we ask about the Quad City International Airport, because, again, it's been trial ballooned in the past that Scott County should get a seat at the board of the airport and make it a more regional authority and start taxing the Iowans who, you know, are the majority of the people that use the airport. So those are the things we talked about in this issue, Aaron.
You're so intense, man. Seriously, you are something else. If you ever do a radio thing, you know, I would say you should change your name to Todd McGroovy, first of all, but I don't know if that would work, because you are, you give my brain a workout every time we have you on. And I got to tell you, so I think COVID especially really put, there's a few silver linings to COVID that I take from it. It's shined a much brighter light on local government, period. Because we figured out that local government can actually change how we are able to live our life. And because a lot of people don't care. You know, like, whatever. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Supervisor, I don't know. Some board or whatever. Who cares? I think that a lot more people's eyes have been opened. Hopefully, we see more than 3% of people out in the primaries this year. But also, COVID made me realize that, you know, the people that are running our organizations that are in government, some of them that are elected officials, they're chuckleheads. You know, they completely fumbled on a lot of different things that happened in the last 2 years. And so that kind of opened my eyes a little bit as well. But you always open our eyes every week with the intensity, man. You're all over it. Like, I just imagine you like walking around thinking like you should be on like a debate team or something.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it's all about local. I mean, we're guided to care about what the national media, the mainstream press wants us to think about the big picture all the time of the presidency and the Congress and the Senate. And yes, they have impacts, if you will, but it really comes down to our local. If you want to have impact where you live, knowing who's on your local school board, who's on your local county board, who's your local sheriff. You know, I love the fact that you guys have Sheriff Booker on every morning. He's right. People know who he is. That's phenomenal. You know, that I heard you talking this morning about, I haven't read the article yet, but there's state suing the FBI for investigating parents.
Yeah.
For, you know, being vocal at school boards. No, that's a big deal right there, Aaron. That's a big deal.
Yeah, they're suing the Biden administration for directing the FBI to keep an eye on or you know, start to file on or whatever people who were, at school board meetings. Like, don't we, like I said, what a waste of resources. You know what I mean? What do we have all this stuff going on at the border. We got an insane meth problem. We got so many problems, and we're going to put stuff on that. If that's not politically motivated, then I don't know what is. So we're wasting resources based on a political slant, if you will, and how they saw things. And that's just goofy, man.
It's a chilling effect for people to get involved with their kids' education. I mean, heaven forbid they would show up at a school board meeting and actually voice their opinion and ask questions directly of these, as you call them, chuckleheads. You know, not all of them are chuckleheads, but, you know,
no.
A lot of them are. And it's sad, you know, if you raise your hand and question authority. Now, what we've written in the past in the Reader is that the reason that these school board members are ignoring the parents' concerns is because of the money. Follow the money. They've received all these grants, and these mitigations that are over the top and extreme are being implemented despite, you know, common sense, despite a bunch of parents' concerns about, you know, the way the kids are being treated and isolated and masked and so forth, and really, frankly, ruined at their formative years, is because the school board got the money. behind the scenes to fund their pensions. And that is what we think is really driving their disingenuous approach to how they're treating the kids in the schools.
Follow the money, Tom McGreevy. That's the tale. Don't forget, folks, too, we got all the band stuff in here. We're in cahoots with the River City's Reader on a list of all the bands playing, where they're playing. And you always got all kinds of great stuff in here, man. Basically, a community calendar in print every week, and you've been doing this forever. Ooh, we got to get going, but I got one final question for you. Do I get an invite to the 1,000th issue party? Where's that going to be at? Because that's going to be off the chain, man.
I know. It's 1,000th issue is coming up in August. We've got to get our act together and do something special for that.
I'm good at planning parties. We've been throwing pub crawls down on that 84 corridor to raise money for Bison Bridge. Half the Quad City showed up at the first one, and it was like 20 degrees out. So we're doing another one in June. You should come out in June, check it out. Maybe we'll do one for you in August.
I love where you're heading with that, Aaron. I love it. We got to talk about that. We'll get Penny in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
Come up with.
That's a great idea. I've been throwing legendary parties since high school, man. I mean, that's what you got to do. So, anyway, Todd McGreevy, River City's Reader, always a pleasure to have you on, buddy. We'll look forward to talking to you next month. We'll look forward to that next issue, number 998.
Hey, thanks, Aaron. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good one.